Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 8, which you can find on page 944 in your pew Bibles. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We heard this lesson just at the end of our reading last week, and I wanted to take some more time to focus on what St. Paul is driving home in this section. Think about what it's like if you are an underdog. If you're the little guy who's fighting the big guy, what is that like? You're really hoping in such a match that the other guy's going to have a bad day, that he's going to have some weakness, some misstep, that he'll have an injury, something that won't work properly. You're hoping that you'll be able to scrape by. So if you've got a baseball team and you're in the final game of the playoffs and the other team is clearly outmatching you, you hope that their pitcher has a bad day, that he's got some sort of an injury, that he's messed up his shoulder. Or imagine you're playing a football game and you're the underdogs. They're bigger and stronger and faster than you. You hope that your trick play will pay off. You hope that you'll just sort of scrape by, that you'll sneak by if you're the underdog. And maybe you wouldn't feel great about such a victory in a sports match. It's always kind of, it's kind of a shame if you win based on a technicality, if some trickery was required in order to win. But think about what it would be like if you're on the battlefield, if you're a soldier, if you're a part of an army, and the other guys are clearly outgunning you. They're out-strategizing you. There are more of them. They are bigger and stronger. In such a situation, you don't care what it takes to win. You'll do whatever it takes to win. And so if it's trickery or if it's the other guy's machine gun getting jammed, you don't really care. You're happy. You're happy. If you're the underdog, you're delighted that the other guy had something go wrong. That's what it's like if you are the underdog. You're just hoping, desperate, praying that something miraculous will happen. St. Paul, in today's lesson, does not see you or me as the underdog. If you're the underdog, you're hoping to scrape by, but if you're not the underdog, then you are bold, and you are confident, and you talk trash. That's what you do if you're not the underdog. If you're bigger and stronger and faster than the other guy, you talk trash. You tell him what he's like and what you're going to do to him and how you're going to handle him in this match. That's what you do if you're like Goliath, for instance, lined up across the valley from the Israelite army. There was Goliath, who stood so much taller than everyone else, 9 feet tall, stronger, mightier. His armor was heavier than anything that the Israelite soldiers could carry. There was Goliath, and he was not an underdog. He was confident, and he was bold. And so he hollered across to the Israelites, "Send your best. Give me your best and your strongest warrior. I'll fight him. We'll have a match. If I win, you'll be our slaves. If he wins, fat chance of that happening, if he wins, then we'll be your slaves." That's what Goliath says. "Send me your best." He stands looking across at the Israelites, and he hollers at them. And he blasphemes their God, and he says, I know what I'm going to do to you, and you know what I can do to you. That's what you do if you are not the underdog, if you're the favorite, if you're stronger. You stand up and you are confident and you're bold. Of course, you know how the story goes with David and Goliath. David shows up looking like an underdog. He first tries on Saul's armor and he can't carry it. He's not fit to carry it. And everyone thinks that all is lost as David makes his way to face Goliath. He goes and gathers some smooth stones from the brook. What's he doing over there by the brook? Nobody knows. And as he approaches Goliath, you can hear Goliath taunting him. I'm going to feed you to the birds. What am I, a dog, that you're coming after me with sticks? I'm going to offer your flesh to the beasts of the field. That's what Goliath says. But David knows that although he appears to be the underdog in this match, although he is tiny in comparison with Goliath, David is actually not the underdog. And he delivers this beautiful speech. He says to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, acting like your strength is what will deliver you in this battle. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the one who has created everything. So in this match, it is I who will be feeding your flesh to the birds, and the beasts will devour your bones." David is bold and confident. Although he looks like an underdog, he knows that he is not. He's not hoping to just sort of scrape by. He's not hoping for some sort of a trick. He's not hoping that Goliath will accidentally trip as he comes toward him. He knows he's going to win. And so David is bold and confident. They can send him a taller giant if they want to. A bigger and stronger Philistine could come, and David would not be afraid. He would be sure. And that is what makes David in that story more than a conqueror. That's what St. Paul calls you and me. We are more than conquerors. He doesn't mean that we are conquerors and something else. When he uses that word, more than conquerors, it literally means something like super conquerors. We are such conquerors that there was never any doubt that we were going to win. We will conquer so thoroughly. David would conquer so thoroughly that there would not be a shred of any concern. There was not going to be any uncertainty. There wasn't going to be a point in the match where we didn't really know which way it was going to go. No, from the beginning, it was obvious that David was going to win. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. And that's what St. Paul says about you and me. We are like David, more than conquerors, super conquerors. There is no question about what's going to happen with you and me in this match against the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. There's no question about what's going to happen in the match between you and me and our enemies, whoever they might be. We are more than conquerors. Bold and confident, we can stand up. And that's exactly what St. Paul is doing in Romans chapter 8. He starts listing some enemies. He begins with some that don't seem quite as bad in comparison. He says, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, earthly kinds of enemies, are any of those things a problem?" St. Paul says, trot them out. We'll see how they can fare against us. We're not the underdog here. Bring your best, St. Paul says. None of those enemies can hold a candle to our God. We are more than conquerors. Trot out your best, St. Paul says, and then he begins with another list of even stronger enemies. Can death or life or angels or rulers or things present or things to come or powers or height or depth or anything in creation, take your pick, bring your best. What is the worst we can imagine? Will we win or will we lose? St. Paul says, no. If it's the love of Christ, if it's the love of Christ that is driving us, that is filling us, that is protecting us, then there's never any doubt. There is no doubt, although it appears at times as if there might be doubt. Although at times we look like lowly David without any armor in the face of a giant, although it looks at times like we are the underdog, we are never the underdog. There's never a hairy moment. There's never a moment where the score is even. No, it's a blowout from the beginning. That's what St. Paul is saying. All that is required of us is that we would believe it, that we would listen to God's word and trust in his promises and not look at our own strength or the might of our enemies, but instead ask how deep and broad and high is God's love. This is the theme throughout the Bible. I was thinking about how Moses does the very same thing as he comes to Egypt. God sends Moses to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And then it's sort of like all of the worst enemies get trotted out. One after another, the plagues come and they defeat the gods of Egypt. It starts with the Nile. The people of Egypt worship the Nile River. Well, that's no trouble. God will just turn it to blood. How about the dust of the earth, where you get your food from, your god of fertility? Well, I can produce some gnats from that. I can turn the ground into gnats. What about the sun? You worship the sun. Moses utters a word and it turns into darkness. The sky is darkened. And of course, Pharaoh himself. They thought of him as being at the top of the food chain. Pharaoh himself. You think you're so great? You're the worst, the strongest, the one who can defeat us? And what happens to Pharaoh in that night? As the angel of death passes over the houses of the people of Israel, the angel of death takes Pharaoh's firstborn son. No enemy too strong. Do your worst. That's what Moses is saying to the gods of Egypt. Do your worst. My God is stronger. Our God is greater. His love for us runs deeper. There is no uncertainty here. There's no question of whether God's going to free his people from Egypt. There's no question of whether he'll deliver them through the Red Sea, whether he'll feed them in the wilderness, whether he'll give them good and wholesome laws, whether he'll lead them into the promised land. There's no question. It's all a certainty. They are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Is there anyone who can be against us? They'd be a fool to pick a fight with you and me. Is there anything that God won't do to defend us? If he's given his own son into death and raised him from the dead, is there anything he won't do? Ask him and see. Is there anyone who can accuse you? Can the devil come along and say, "I know your sins. God's going to judge you for them"? No. Remember what Paul began chapter 8 with. There is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. What will separate us? What can get in the way? Not even the barrier between earth and heaven separates us any longer. The curtain is torn in two. The heavens have been opened. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is what it means to be more than conquerors. That is what it means not to be the underdog. That's what it means to live like Christians, not reckoning things based on our flesh or what we know lurks in our hearts, but reckoning everything based on the strength and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.